Mizmar, Mizmar Nun, Mizmar Li Asaf Kel Elokim Hashem. Three Shemos. We're going to discuss this in a moment. Okay, everybody, there's a lot going on over here. First thing we would like to discuss when we discuss the Mizmar is who wrote this Mizmar and what is and what and in regard to what was it written. So the Mefarshim don't say all that much. They basically let's read what they said. Let's start with reading with. I'll look over here on my what I wrote down over here. Let's look at the Radak. Okay, from the Rishonim, the first thing over here is the Radak. What was the purpose of this Mizmar? Mizmar Li Asaf Kel Elokim Hashem. There are three different Shemos of Hashem. Ze HaMizmar Hu Al Yoim HaMishpat Sheyiye Le'asil Lavo Bevo HaGoel. It's the Yoim HaDin. This Mizmar is a reference to the Yoim HaDin. We've learned Mizmarim that discuss Melchemes Goig Umagoig. We learned Mizmarim that discuss what is it going to be like after Melchemes Goig Umagoig. What it's going to be like before Melchemes Goig Umagoig, what's going to be like at the time of Golos, time of redemption, which is either right after Golos. There are many different tekufas. There's Golos, that we know. And then there is, when Golos comes, there's Ikvis, so there is the Chevle Moshiach, the end of Golos, transitioning into the time of Geula. There's Geula. Geula has many parts. We try to suggest there's going to be a Geula. Then after the Geula, there's going to be Melchemes Goig Umagoig. And then after Melchemes Goig Umagoig, there's a post-Geula, which is another state. Each Mizmar focuses on a very specific tekufa in world history. Mainly, most of it has not yet happened. This Mizmar is very frightening because this Mizmar talks about a time. And when is this time? It's not clear. Is this time at the very, very, very end? Is it somewhere in the middle? Is it the time of Goig Umagoig of a Yoim HaDin, a day of judgment? Not just a Yom Kippur, not just a Chazal says every Rosh Chodesh is a Yoim HaDin. Some said the Yoim HaDin every single day. Adam Nidan B'chol Yoim. We're dealing with the ultimate Yoim HaDin that will take place at the end of days. That's how the Radak learns, and many of the Mefarshim they say the same thing in different words. I'll give you the words one more time. It's on page 445. Ze hamizmar hu al yoim hamishpat sheyige laasid lavoi bevoi hagoyel. When the goyel will come, there will be a yoim hamishpat kimoi shakas benuvas yoyel bayam mahem uveisahi asher asher es shavus Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, restore the captivity of Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Viki Batstia will gather as kol hagoyim, all the nations, v'yohoi raditim el emek yohoi shofat. I will bring them down to the valley of yohoi shofat. Doesn't just mean the person, it means a place of mishpat. And v'nish batiti imam sham, and there will be judgment. V'oimer, another pasuk, ha moinim be'emek hechorutz. Okay, and there it also goes on to describe a time of judgment. Okay, so this is the one mahalich from the Radak. Let's look at the Malbum. Okay, the Malbum says something very different. Very different. Let's see the Malbum page 444. Malbum page 440 says, Mizmar Li Asaf, totally different interpretations. Bo in this Mizmar, Toichocha is rebuke. Neged Hacha Nefim Vahatzivuim to the flatterers and the fakers, people that flatter. Good morning, Rav Kalman. Rav Kalman, you still in America?
That didn't sound right.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said. What did you say?
I'm leaving today.
Okay, you have a safe trip.
Where?
To Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kalman is going to Eretz Yisrael. You have a safe trip, enjoyable trip. Accomplish a lot there. You know, save the world. Okay, accomplished there. All right, so over here on page 444, the Malm has a different interpretation. That's the purpose of this Mizmah. He writes, this is Musar to the flatterers and the phonies. Tzavuim always means a person that paints himself. He paints himself with you color yourself. You paint yourself. Show you oisim to Eva Gedoyla, who did to Evois Gedoilas, terrible Averois, but yet Umarim es Atzmam tzadikim al yidei havos karbonos ram. They make believe that they're tzadikim by bringing karbonos. They say lashon hara, they slander about other people, and they themselves are guilty of doing exactly the phony. They're hypocrites.
You see that all the time.
And they speak b'shem Hashem, ki bol shoftam al roa mahaseihem, and they speak b'shem Hashem. They make believe they're religious people. Kibol l'shoftam al roa ma'aseyem. So who's medar b'shem Hashem? And this is the Navi. The Navi is speaking b'shem Hashem to judge them on their evil deeds. Okay, so we have over here an entirely different interpretation of the Malbim, that this mizmor, the person's mizmor, is it's musr.
What does he mean by havos kabonos?
They bring the kabbis and mikdash.
They bring more than normal amount.
They bring oilois. They come to the mikdash. They bring carbon oil. It's a big show. Life is a big show. They do.
This is talking about the people in this modern mikdash, not
in the beginning of the past. Okay, yeah. Fine. I mean, I think when he says carbonis, it doesn't mean literally. It means the people out there throughout. So during the time of the past when there was the Beis HaMikdash, there were people that were horrible. They're fakers. Just plain pashut fakers. In their private lives, even publicly, they do the worst averos, and then they present themselves being the biggest tzaddikim. They come to the Beis HaMikdash, they bring these very expensive korbanos, and they put on a whole costume and a whole show, and they're phonies. They're total frauds, fakes, phonies. Okay? The gematria... What?
It's in our DNA.
Unfortunately, this is a very big problem, to be a phony. And this mizmor is a toichachas musar, not to be a phony. Don't pretend to be who you are not. Toichoi kibaro, you should appear on the outside the way you really are on the inside. Don't make believe, and don't give people musar when you yourself are guilty of that same crime. So this is the parish of the Malma. Look over here. Look the rid. The Perish Harid on page 445, he really says what we learned in the Radak. What does he say? What does he say? He says here, Mizmor Liyosaf, Mizmor Zenema Leosid, it's the future, Kishiyodin Habari Es Oilomoy. That's a pretty much nice, short and sweet, pretty much what the Malbim said. And what is this one more? Let's see the Sepurno. The Sepurno says, Zecha Mizmor Nasa was composed, Al Yoyim Hadin, Hashem will judge the nations. Achar hakos goy gumag. So he learns. He's the only one that puts the timeline, puts it in perspective. After goy gumagoy, kemoi kein yishpoit siride yishona. Also, what he says is important. See, this mishpat is for the Jewish people, because if you learn the Radak, the Radak doesn't say specifically referring over here to Klal Yisrael. Maybe this is the Yom Hadin for every living creature, Goyim as well. Okay, this the major theme of according to most Mefarshim, that this Mizmor is a Mizmor describing the day, the Yom Hadin HaGodol VeHanoira. There's a day of judgment, a big day of judgment where everything. Chazal say a person go. There are many, many stages of judgment. Every single day a person is judged. And then there's a judgment which happens every month. And there's a judgment which happens once a year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And then there's a Rosh Hashanah which happens when a person leaves this world. And then there's a judgment, some say every year on his Yahrzeit. Every year, that's one of the reasons why some have the custom to fast on the Yahrzeit of a relative. Because on the day of the Yahrzeit is the day when that neshama is being judged to see the consequence of his actions. A person plants whatever he does in this world, he really, in essence, is planting seeds. And
that's why you say the neshama should have an aliyah.
Exactly, an aliyah, exactly, that he should do well in the judgment. And the seeds that he plants, they sprout and they take root. And every single year there's a new cheshbon as to what has this neshama accomplished on this world? That has what has grown, what has blossomed from his actions? And Rachmana Lissan, a person that planted seeds of poison in this world, and he leaves this world, and those poisonous plants that he planted grow and develop, and people go down the path of evil. He is taking these accountable for his for what he has done. Knowing the, if you ever read these spooky books, which I don't even know how they know these things to be true, they tell you what goes on in the other world. So they say, I've seen tzaddikim that were in Gan Eden for generations, and they came and they dragged them out and brought them straight down to Gehenna. Why? Because those neshamas in Gan Eden that were there for generations had a descendant, a great-great-grandson, a great-great-whatever, did a terrible, terrible havera, achil Hashem, and it was such a disgrace, and therefore the Elta Zeda was responsible for this. Why was he responsible? I have no idea. I have no idea why he was responsible. Don't ask me.
I'm going to ask you a different question. If we're Judge Yom Yom, why do we have to be Judge Chodesh in the year?
There are different levels. I don't know. I have no idea how this works, but there are different levels, consequences. Look, you know, you take an exam in school. So you take an exam every week. You take an exam, and then when you get to the end of the semester, you take a final. You know, in school, there are different levels of exams. You take an exam. You take the Dirshu exam. So they give you an exam every 30 days, and then they give you after Pesach and Sukkot, there's a cumulative exam, and then every once in a while there's another cumulative. There are different madregas. Everyone understands that there are different. You tested. There are different levels of mishpat, and there's the din diyam agadol, and every on a yard side a person there's a cumulative din of everything the person did, and the impact of what he has done, how it has changed this world, how it has changed his family, people. Okay, it's a very frightening thing. A person should never underestimate what he does. You're just saying hello to someone, saying good morning, smiling at someone, you don't know the difference. Mayor can tell you all these interesting stories about people who just, you would never ever know. Supposedly of Shlomo Kalbach, the day that he died, right? Supposedly, this is true, Mayor. The day that the Shlomo Kalbach died, he had this crazy minug that he would just go into his phone or whatever he had then, and randomly call a person that he knew to say hello, for no reason whatsoever. Just open up his book. Oh, I haven't spoken to this person in a long time, and dial his number just at random. And he did that on the day that he died. On the plane, yeah. He opened up a book. Oh, he called up someone and he says, "This is Shlomo. I'm going high. I'm going." And supposedly that person was holding by committing suicide.
Wow.
And just random, he called him up and he said hello to him, and like
put him over the edge.
I didn't call him.
That's what sealed the deal.
Okay, so you don't know the impact of the person, and that's over here what it's over here. According to the river's the mism said Emily's alamai. Okay, so we've gone through over here, I think four. Okay, I think we've gone through four of the commentators to explain the purpose of this mizmor. It says it was composed by Asaf. Asaf was one of, I think, the descendants of Korach. Okay, mizmor le Asaf. One of his, all of these mizmorim in this section are all the Bnei Korach. And here
was. Unless it's Avi Asaf and they just wrote Asaf.
Okay, I don't know, maybe you're right.
His sons was Avi
Asaf.
Your son was
Avi Asaf.
Va'avi, the father of Asaf?
It says, Uvnei Korach Avir Avir Asaf.
Va'avi, the father of Asaf?
Avir.
Avir Asaf.
I'm just reading the passage okay. In my head.
Okay, so this is one of the descendants of Korach. All of the Mizmoirim, we want to welcome back our Baruch Horowitz, our Gabbai, the Gabbai Hagodol V'Hanoira. Okay, so this is look, Chara, this Asaf, I didn't see any commentator here to explain, but I'm assuming this is also this whole section, this entire sefer is all from the children of Korach.
Well, one second, who it is? I just want to say something.
About yes.
That. Now here it quotes the idea that son of Korach. But then I thought, we all have heard that there are eight Mizmorim from B'nai Korach. So we've already exhausted that.
Only eight?
49.
Okay, so we've exhausted the eight. I don't know. I don't know. We have to look into this more. I don't know
the
answer.
Asir.
It's Asir.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know. But okay, so whatever it is, it is.
The suggestion comes from the Tosos and Bava Basra.
But it is pretty crazy.
Only eight. Yeah, I don't see anyone on the page.
Yeah,
I went to the page. I don't see anyone here who says who this is. This sefer, look, it says in this, it says that there's a person called Asaf that is in the line of Korach, right? It says it in the pasuk. So Korach, all the mizmarim until now are all from B'nai Korach, and Asaf happens to be listed as one of the children, descendants of Korach. I'm assuming that we have a right to assume this is also part of the series of Korach, and this Musar here, the reason why they are giving this message is because they were the recipients in Jewish history of the ultimate rebuke. They were judged, and they were found guilty. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. They were miraculously saved, and there's a lot to learn from them. So it's very logical that if all of the Mizmarim until now on this Sefer are all from B'nai Korach, and Korach has a descendant mentioned in the Torah whose name is Asaf, I think it's fair that this also was part of that series. But it says there are only eight.
No, he,
yeah.
He doesn't just a son named Asaf.
I apologize to you. What does it say in the pasuk exactly? Maybe
Asir
let me.
Asir v'el kanova. Abi Asaf is one word. One word.
Okay, so that's also, what does that mean exactly?
No,
it's one word.
That's also
a whole question. Okay, so that's, it says it's one word. So the question is, is it Avi dash Asaf? And we just happen to read it together. Our style of writing is not the style of writing back in the day. So in the way it's written in Tanakh. All right, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Let's leave it with that. So let's review.
Some people have been called their father's name.
Right, okay.
Like, there is Avishai. Avishai
Ben Suya.
So she named Avi Yishai. So she called me Avishai.
She
called her baby Avishai.
Okay. Okay, so that's same idea. Okay, it's the same idea when it says this word, does it mean that it's a completely different name, or does it mean you're just appending another word in order to indicate who you're named after? Exactly. In any event, let's review. We have over here this mizmar. We read it, went through four of the mefarshim as to who with regard to what is this mizmar composed. What is the subject of the mizmar? And there are basically two ideas. Or you can it's two, which is one. Every one of the mefarshim here says it just a little bit different. There's the Radak, and there is the Sipurno, the Rid, and the Malbim. The basic idea is it's Yoim Hadin. There's a Tekufa coming up at the end of days. Exactly when, how it will play out, no one knows. Over here, according to the Tos, the Rid, he says it's going to be, well, not the Rid, it was the Sipurno. He said, I'm getting mixed up with Al. He says what? But basically, there's going to be at some point in time in history a Yoim HaDin. The Din HaGodol VeHaNoira. There's going to be this Din for the Din. Even though a person is judged every single day, he's judged Rosh Chodesh, he's judged once a year, he's judged the time when he leaves this world, he's judged on his yard site. We have a tradition judged on the yard site. And then there's the cumulative exam, which takes place at the end of days. What what did a person achieve, what did he accomplish, what are the consequences, the ramifications of his deeds and actions, the Yoim Hadin HaGodol, and that is the subject of this Mizmar. Now, when you want to go down into the details, when exactly will that take place? Will it take place before Milchemes Gogog Magog? Will it take place after? Okay, that's not so clear. Some of the Mefarshim here say when, some don't. And who exactly will be subject to this din? Is this din for the entire world, or is it only for Klal Yisrael, the survivors? Even Klal Yisrael, not necessarily every single person, only those that survive the Milchemes Gog Magog. Only for the survivors, they will then be subject to this Yoim Hadin. The Malbim, though, says a little bit differently. He doesn't say it. He doesn't seem to say that it's referring to the Yoim Hadin, even though it's the same theme, but he says that this Mizmor is nothing more than an open rebuke to the phonies, the fakers, and the people that are full of garbage in this world. What?
Tehillim.
Yes.
Our holy book.
Yes.
Ashrei Ha'ish is the first two words. And Rashi goes on to say, Ba'asora Lashonos, Zemer Ne'amas Sefer Zeh. List that, and then he says, Keneged Asora B'nei Adam She'amaruhu Adam, Tzedek, Avraham, Moshe, David, Shlomo, Ovan Yitzhi, Asaf.
Okay.
Ush Loisha B'nei Korach. For some reason, I was thinking in my head that
excellent.
Was a descendant of Shlomo. I don't know if this fits into that, but anyway, to someone on his own.
Okay, excellent. Okay, from Rashi is saying it's mashm that Asaf is not part of the Aser of the B'nei Korach. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so Rashi says there are 10 people who contributed. 10 composers appear in Sefer Tehillim, and Asaf is one of the 10, and he does not count them together with B'nai Korach, so therefore it's a completely separate line, a completely different composer. That means we've reached a watershed moment here in this section. We've now done with B'nai Korach. We are finished with the B'nai Korach, and we're going off into a new composers, new blood. A new line in Klal Yisrael, a new composition, different mahalech in dealing with different things. Okay, excellent. Excellent. Okay, so that's the first yisoid of this mizmor, which is critical. The subject of the mizmor is always the most important thing. And we have two basic mahalchem. It's a toichachas musar to people that are tzivainim, fakers, people who appear to be, who make believe who they are not. They give musar to other people. They themselves are guilty of the same crimes they heap upon other people. And then the other three mefarshim that we've learned, that we're referring more specifically to the Yoim Hadin HaGodol. Okay, that's one topic. Next topic. The next topic in the beginning of the Sefer is Kel Elokim Hashem. We haven't even gone, we didn't even do one pasuk. Let us at least read one pasuk now. Mizmor Liasaf. Okay, we discussed that. That was the second kant. Who was Asaf? It's not B'nai Korach, not at least according to Rashi. And then it opens up with three different titles for Hashem. Kel Elokim Hashem. Diber spoke, Vayikra Oretz, and he spoke, and he called out to the earth. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o. This calling spans from the rising of the sun until the setting of the sun. It's very vague, abstract. What does this mean? Let's see the Mitzudos David first. And guess what? The Mitzudos David, there is none. How do you like that? I never realized that. Okay, there is none. That's very surprising. Mivo'o just says the Shkia. I guess he wants to go into the next. As I told you, if this was not Tehillim, if this was the other Sefarim that we learned, there's no way he would be quiet. He must have written this parish earlier in his career, because the other Sefarim that we learned, the Mitzudos David, was much more expressive. He didn't leave one word untouched. Here he skips around a little bit. There is? Where?
The very bottom of 445.
Yes, the two lines on 445. All the way back.
Kael Elokim Hashem.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Because I was looking at the top. I was looking and it said Chof, I thought it was a Beis. I didn't pay attention, I'm sorry. See what I did? I went to the top of Mrs. Dovin where it says Chof. For some reason in my mind, I thought that was a Beis. I'm sorry. You're right. Let's go to Kel. I'm sorry. Kel, Elokim Hashem.
Right away, that shouldn't bother me, but when we say Mizrach Shemesh Avivol, in Hallel, you have the same phrase again. Mm-hmm. And we darshan that pasuk to mean that you only say Hallel in daytime. You don't say Hallel at night.
Oh, okay.
That's what the Gemara said. Mizrach Shemesh Avivol, Mehul Al Shem Hashem. So that's what the Gemara says. That pasuk means you're only allowed to say Hallel in daylight.
Okay.
Never at night. So that's the problem with saying
what about Pesach
at night? Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem because it says that.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what is over here in this. Kel Elohim Hashem. Kel. Sha'al Kol Elohim. He says something over here that would be very controversial today. Someone would write something like this. Kel. Which is Sha'al Kol Elohim, which is above all Elohim. Heim Malachei Ma'ala. Okay, so he teaches the word Kel Hashem, Kel Elohim Hashem, is a reference to Malachim. And he says the name of the Malach is Asher Shemoy Hashem. Okay, so he says something here very controversial. One more time, Kel, there is a power, Sha'al Kol Elohim, which is above all powers, which is Haim. Who is the power that is above all powers? Hashem created in this world certain powers. Teva, nature. Nature is a koyach. And there are malachi hashoreis that have authority over these powers. Asher shemoi, and the name of these, I'm assuming what he means here, the name of these malachim is called Asher shmo Hashem, which is very...
Him is shmo Hashem. He is above all the Elohim. They are not gods. They are powers. Him, which is shmo Hashem, and he is above all Elohim.
Kel. What is a Kel over here? Sha'al. There's something called a Kel, which is above Elohim. Haim.
There is a mishpat in between. Him, Asher shmo Hashem, but in between he says, what is he? Sha'al kol Elohim. He is above.
So what is above? It seems that it's going back on the word kel. The kel is above the powers that Hashem. It appears that the word Elohim, according to the Mizrach, is not Hashem. Elohim means like ad Elohim yavo dvar shnehem. The word Elohim means an authority. Bezdin is called Elohim. Lo yielcha Elohim acherim al ponoi. Elohim means an authority. What is an authority that we are discussing here? In this world, there are many things which have power. Hashem gave power to nature. Science is a power. Science operates on a given set of rules, which you can't fight with. You have no control over. But above that, there is something above that, and that are the Malachi Hashareis. So the Kel, Sha'al Kol Elohim, Haim. And who are they? Who is the... I'm assuming this is what he means. Who is the Kel? Heim Malachi Mala.
Maybe that's Elohim.
You want to say that...
Elohim because it had to do... I think it's about a Elohim.
So you want to say that the Elohim are the Malachim. You want to say that the Malachim... Okay, this makes much more sense. Good, you taught me this. The Elohim here are the Malachim. And the Kel... And the Kel is Hashem, and the Kel's name is Yud Ke Vav Ke. Good, that's much better. Right. So Hashem is a power who is. Hashem is a power that is has superiority over the Malachim, and the name of the ultimate power, which is the Kel, is Yud Ke Vav Ke. Kel. What?
The Midas HaRachman is above the Midas HaRachman.
Oh, that's a very good point. I didn't think about this. Very good. You're saying good. Okay, so basically, Kel and Yud Kei Vav Kei are the same. According to the Mitzvah of David, the word Kel And the word Yudke Vavke, the first word and the last word of this sequence, is the same thing. It's that Yudke Vavke is the name of the Kel that is superior to the Elohim, which are the Malachi Hashares. Okay, Malachi Hashares, we would say, is it this week's parasha? Bini Bechori Yisrael. So, if whenever you have the word Bechor, this is a very big topic, can you have a Bechor without having a second child? Kadesh li kol bechor.
So that proves
it. Is it called a bechor or is it called a peterechem? Well, the pasuk says kadesh li kol bechor peter kol rechem. So lechayra a bechor. There's no one yet. This is the first one. This is the first baby. The first child. Even if there's never going to be another child, it's automatically called a Bukhar. Is that really correct?
Yes.
Or it's Al Shem HaOsid? It's Al Shem HaOsid. You're already planning to have 25 children. So the first one, okay, we're on the way, is called a Bukhar. Okay, so I heard this from Rabbi Shur. He used to say this all the time. Is Hashem has two children. He has two sets of children. Us and the Malachi Hashares. All over Tanakh do we find angels called Hashem's children. Bnei Elohim. It says that Hashem was walking a pasuk in Iyov, was a pasuk here, pasuk, I don't remember all of Sukkim. The Bnei Elohim, Malachi Hashares, are called in Tanakh children of Hashem. Klali Yisrael is also called a child. Bnei, Bonim Atem, Lashem Elokeichem. So we are called Bonim, and the Malachi Hashores are called Bonim. So which one gets Pishnayim? Which one? Bini Bechori Yisrael. The angels are also called the Bnei Elokim. And we're called Bonim. Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem.
Well, you have the word Elokim. Ayiru Bnei Elokim is also a dumb.
Okay, right. So the Bnei Elokim. The Malachi Hashares are called Hashem's Bonim. But we're also called Hashem's Bonim. Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. Which one has superiority? Bini Bechori Yisrael. Klal Yisrael with the Bechor.
Well, you see Hashem is the above the Elokim. So the Bnei's of the Elokim are below the Bnei's of Hashem.
You're going to be too confused. Well, I need a map for this. In this context.
Right.
In this context.
So even there, when you say Bnei Elokim, which are the Malachim, are on a lower level, then they, you saw Bnei Hashem.
Okay, I think it's a different context. The words can switch around in different contexts. In this, over here, Cohen's saying is there is, Kel means there is a power. That power that is more powerful than the Malachi Hashares. And who are we referring to? Yudke Vavke Hashem. Rav Dov is pointing out that over here that the Malachi Hashares here are called Elokim, which means Adin, and Hashem is in charge of them, and Hashem's name is Yudke Vavke, which means Rachamim prevails over Midas Adin. That's a very beautiful idea. Okay, so this is what the Mitzvah Stavit says. Let's read the end of the Pasuk. Asher Shema Hashem. A reason why I'm dwelling upon this is because you're going to see this is a very complicated Pasuk. This combination of three Shemais creates a lot of grief for some of the commentators. But in the meantime, let's finish up. Hu Diber, it's hard to understand what this pasuk means. He, Hashem, has spoken. Vikoro has called, a call for papers, has called out El Yoshvei Haaretz, to those who live on this earth, Min Kitzei HaMizrach Ad Hamara, from the edge of the east until the west. Hashem has called out to every living creature on this world. What did Hashem say? Stay tuned, that's the next page.
That's why you have one like what Dov said is very simple, because by the Akeda, it's by Omer, well, Kim Nisaw Sabra, I'm using the word Elohim, the whole story, when it says by Omer Elohim, Malach Hashem, Al Tishah,
so the Malach, very nice, I never. So the Rachamim prevailed upon the Akedah.
The whole story is Elohim, Elohim, Elohim.
Very good. The whole thing is like, the whole the Akedah was Midas Hadin until Rachamim came in and prevailed. Now, let's look over here at Minchas Shai. The Minchas Shai says something very interesting. Jump down to where it says to Okay, 140 over 444, and look at the Mincha Shan, the bottom. Go down to the very, very bottom. Go up 1, 2, 3, 4. Go up 4 lines. Eitzel Chasen Kar. They give you Yeshua V'duchti Achnin V'chein Masha Yishalmi. No, I don't even need that. 2 lines from the bottom. What we need is 2 lines from the bottom. Two. The first part of Mincha Shai, I have no idea. He's talking about something entirely different. 2 lines from the bottom. It's like a new sense. Shaloshtan Shem Echad. All 3, Kel, Elohim, Hashem, are all one name of Hashem. Shaloshtan Shem Echad. Ki Inish to Omar. We'll see the Medrash in a moment. And the Likutei Shasi brings the Medrash to explain this concept. Oh, but basically, each one is a Shem Hashem. Kel, Elohim, Hashem. V'chein Nira Miperish Harav. Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, okay, the Ibn Ezra, v'yatargum, sheloi kedivrei Rashi v'radak. Oh. Now, before we even go further, he says over here that all of them is Hashem's name, which is not necessarily what the Mitzudas David said. Because the Mitzudas David said that the word Elohim refers to the Malachi Hashares. The Mitzudas David didn't say this either. The Mitzudas David came much later than all these people. So, but the Mitzvah stuff, it said Elohim is the Malachi Hashares, and Kel is Hashem, that is above the Malachi Hashares, and the name of the Kel that is above the Malachi Hashares is Yudke Vavke, is Hashem. So according to the Mitzvah stuff, the word Elohim is not necessarily Hashem's name. Okay? So it seems already that it's another opinion. And the Mitzvah stuff, it usually does not say things on his own. Everything that the Mitzvah stuff it says was taken from another source. In the olden days, the plagiarism was not an issue. Citing, really, it really wasn't. It was a different world. Like you see this over and over again. It was like no one. It wasn't. If you give someone credit where you took it from, that's like extra credit. But if you don't need the extra credit, so you don't quote Ha'im Adavu Sheba Mevikul Yoylam. Don't confuse me with the facts. it wasn't a big deal. Everything has to be cited and sourced. It's unbelievable. Okay, put that aside. So the Mitzvah stuff, it seems to be signing an opinion that says, no, they're not all the Shem Hashem. Elohim HaMalachi HaShavis, and there is an explanation. There is the Hashem, who is above the Malachim, and Hashem's name is Yudkei Vavkei. It's a sequence. It's a parish. Fine. That's not what it says over here in the Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai says all 3 together, each one is the name of Hashem. Hashem is called Kel, Hashem is called Elohim, and Hashem is called Yudkei Vavkei. It would appear that according to the Mitzvah David, you don't even have to say L'shem Kedushas Hashem, even the first word, Kel. There is an authority, a power, that is above the Malachim, and you know what his name is? Guess what? I'll give you one choice. Yudkei Vavkei. So according to the Mitzvah David, it would appear the only name that you have to say, L'shem Kiddushas Hashem, when you write a Sefer Tehillim on parchment, is the last one, Yudkei Vavkei. And the other two is not. It's just there's a power that is above the Malachi Hashares, and the name of this power is Yudkei Vavkei. Along comes
How
the
Mincha...
What? We don't pronounce Kel the way we pronounce it.
Kel?
Aleph Lamed. You would say, okay, so technically speaking, if it's not holy, then you don't need to say, it's chol. Look, Yesh Le'el Yodi. The word El means literally power. Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu, Yesh, there is Le'el Yodi. There is power to my hand. According to the Mitzudos David, it would appear that the word here, Aleph Lamed means power. There is a power that is superior to this entity called the Elohim, which according to him means the angels. And what is the name of this power that is superior to the angels? Oh, Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. The Mincha Shai is revealing that that's not so simple. No, it's sacred. Kel Elohim Hashem. Now let's look right away at the Likutei Shas to bring out this point. The Likutei Shas towards the bottom. Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines towards the bottom on page 444 in the Likutei Shas. where the, you see that triangle, Chozru Haminim the Apikorsim. The Apikorsim came along, Vashalu Oysol Rabbi Simlai. Maidik, what does it mean over here in this passage? Kel Lukim Hashem, Diber, Vayikro Oretz. What's going on over here? How many deities are there? What in the world is going on? This pasuk over here is a very dangerous pasuk. Okay, these Meshugoyim, they love this type. They're just always looking to make trouble. Tzvechiloi Mashma, the editor here, put in these words. Who is this editor here? Tzvechiloi Mashma sheyesh sholosh koychos. Kel Elokim Hashem. I want to bring down the person who wrote, put these brackets into the shir here to give a shir for us here. Who is this person? I got to find out. I want, who is the person that put this Bayer into, in, is probably a person living today. He's the only one living from all the people over here on this whole page. Every single Mefarsh on this page is long gone. But the person who put these brackets, hopefully he's alive and well and should stay around here for a long time. Amalohen. So Rabbi Sim- what? No, but there's an editor. He took it from the Mefarshim. It appears that this is a Yerushalmi, but the brackets is a Perush. And with the Perush, certainly he wouldn't dare put his own Perush into it. Then he would get blasted from.
Maybe it was Rashi on that Yerushalmi?
Right. So he's selecting. There is no Rashi. There is one of the Mefarshim. So obviously he selected which Perush he liked, he felt was the most apropos. And he put it in the brackets, you know. And he probably had to do a little bit of manipulation also. It's a pretty big achrayis when you know you're marketing this to the whole world, and it's a pretty good seller. Okay, so Omar Luhu. So he told him v'chidibru vayikru b'loshen rabim ksiv. So he says, does it say here in the pasuk? This is what he answered that Apikorsim. It says vayikro oretz b'loshen yochid. He called out to the earth. Does it say in the pasuk vayikru? Does it say dibru? It is diber b'loshen yachid and vayikru b'loshen yachid. It doesn't say this b'loshen rabim. Therefore, it has to be that all three names, Kel, Elokim, Hashem, are all the same. It's all referring to the same entity, to HaKadosh Baruch. Otherwise, if really there are three deities in this pasuk, it should say Kel is number one, Elohim two, Hashem, Dibru, Vayikru'u Oretz. Okay, obviously this is a Yerushalmi, they're dealing with this. This is serious business over here. You wouldn't have a Yerushalmi dealing with the fact that there are three Shemites and having this discussion. Okay, they didn't give the answer, he didn't give the answer to the Mitzvot David, that it means a power that is superior to the angels whose name is Hashem. He didn't give him that answer. Okay, the Yerushalmi didn't give the answer of the Mitzvot David. He says, no, each name is another name of Hashem, and they're all different dimensions of Hashem. And the proof is, it says, Diber, not Dibru, Vayikru, not Vayikru. Fine. So the students, now if you ask me, that's a very good answer. I would be very satisfied. I would close the Gemara and go home, go to sleep. But the students were not satisfied. So, that's an answer for the birds. Okay, lakone, I don't know, lakone means a stick. What's a kone mean? A stick, you just push them off. You push a kone, I'm assuming means you just took your staff and you like the birds are in your way, you get a zakein. That's not an answer. Yeah, you gave an answer to them with the kone. Tell us the real answer. What's wrong with this answer? I don't know, maybe you'll say that even though there were three entities, one spoke on their behalf, one of the three spoke on behalf of the other two. I don't know what's the problem with the answer. The students were not satisfied with the answer. So what? So v'lonu mo'at ha'meshif, omar lohen. So he told them something very profound, and he told them shaloshdan shem echad. Now, what does that mean? This is a very difficult. What is this? All three are one name. And he gives an example, which is If not for the example, I think we would be misled to understand what he means to say. Ki inish to omar, like a person who says, and there's a lot of brackets here. Let's just ignore the brackets for a moment. Ignore the brackets. Just read the pure words of the Yerushalmi. Umnoin, banyon, and architektanon, which basically means craftsman. Three words which mean master craftsman. There's an umnoin, like an uman. I guess it's a Yerushalmi, the words of Yerushalmi are a little bit different. A craftsman, an uman. An uman is a craftsman. There's something called a banyan, like a binyan. It's also, it's just another word which means the same thing. Right, so in the brackets, he translates it, banai, a builder, and architektanon, which is adrich, architect. Okay, these are three words. Now, obviously, if there are three words, they're not the same. Each one has a nuance, has a different flavor. They're obviously they're very similar. They're representing the concept of construction and craftsmanship, artistry. They're representing the ability to create. Three different words. And that's the end. That now, obviously, all of this is subject to interpretation. What exactly he was answering. And you have to go study all the Mepharshim on the Yerushalmi to find exactly the depth of what he is trying to tell them. But basically, for our purposes, what he's saying over here is, each name is sacred. It's not like the Mitzvah is David, that there is a power that is superior to the angels. And the name of that power is Yudkei Vavkei. According to that interpretation, we have like a conversation. And the first two names are not sacred. According to what it says in the Yerushalmi, each name is sacred. And when a sofer writes a sefer tehillim on parchment with dioi, with kedusha, before he writes kel, he has to say l'shem kedushas Hashem. Before he writes Elokim, l'shem kedushas Hashem. Before he writes yudkei vavkei, l'shem kedushas Hashem, because these are three names of Hashem, which according to the Yerushalmi, is giving you represent the power of Hashem's creativity. And okay, we're not familiar with language. You have to delve deeply into the difference between the three different. If there are three different words, obviously there are three different dimensions in creativity. It's not for nothing. There's an uman. There's a banyan, and there is this other word I can't even pronounce. An architect. Architektanon. Okay, if you want in English, you know, you can translate it into English, you can start going in the dictionary, you'll tell me all the nice differences in English, but who says what it says in the English translation is exactly what it means over here.
You see three levels, right? You see three levels here. One is having
the labor. The
skill.
The woman is the
person. Then you have the person knows how to put things together, and then you have the great designer.
It's backwards, though. Wouldn't you say that the first one, in our language, you first as the architect on paper, then you have the banyan, the project manager,
contractor,
project manager, and then you have the workers. You have an electrician, you have a plumber,
right.
You have. So it's backwards. Is there a lesson in that? Is that part of the Musar by Kadosh Baruch Hu? Things are backwards.
Remember, we already established that.
Not necessarily. It's different skills. No, plumbers. The plumbers
probably.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the architect, and then he's saying Kel represents the plumber, the electrician, the person who puts down the tiles, and then the other one, and that's Kel, and Elokim is the project manager, the contractor. It gives you a whole new dimension. These three, putting these three together, seeing what it says in the Yerushalmi is amazing. It's amazing. It gives you a whole different dimension, understanding the different shemos of Hashem. And also, you can't ignore the fact that it's backwards. If it's backwards, and it's not an accident that it's backwards, and it's not surprising, because every time we deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we find this concept, like our Aleph Beis is Aleph through Tav. A lot of the Mepharshim, they say that by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Aleph Beis begins backwards, Tav going to Aleph. This kiloy machshavoy sai machshavoy seichem. Hashem, a person should never think he's buddy-buddy with Hashem. Hashem has a different set of rules. He operates on an entirely different plane. He's infinite. We don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe it's by design shaking us up. Don't think when you try to relate to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator that you understand what goes on in this world. Man is so small. It's such a nothing. Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't even fathom that you can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to understand something, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite kindness is being mitzamtzem himself to such a degree that a little teeny mind of a human being cannot comprehend something.
But this is like the normal progression of power that you see everywhere. You go to your project manager, to your boss, then he goes up to the project manager, and he goes up to the...
Yeah, but you can't lay a brick until you have an architect telling you. Okay.
That's what you're making, Jeff. But for me, as a person, has to look at my boss, who really interested is.
Okay, it's definitely.
Is he?
Okay, definitely interesting.
You're looking at your responsibility.
Yeah. It's definitely something new, fascinating insight into these three shemas. Now not even finished yet. Now we notice over here, what? Oh, okay. So we're gonna see that, right? Okay, so why is your mafsek? Let's see. Very good. So let's see. You're touching upon the next point.
It goes together. Elohim Hashem Dibber Vayikra. Dibber Telashon Kasha. Zeh Lashon Elohim. Hashem. When Hashem talks to Yishmei Aretz, he talks to them in different ways. Sometimes it's Dibur, and sometimes it's Kriya. That's why Elohim Hashem, when Hashem Dibber, in both ways.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. You're touching upon something which is true. Let's look at Rashi. Now that he told us, not like Rashi and the Radak. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kel Elokim Hashem, Ekra, read the parentheses, Ekra, I will call out Elokei Ho Elokim Hashem Shemo. Now the word Ekra, we're going to read the Sifsei Zakenim, basically means that according to Rashi, Rashi seems to have had a different girsa. The difference is one teeny little dot. One teeny little dot makes all the world of a difference. Who says this word is Kel, Hashem? It means El, towards. Towards El Elokim Hashem Diber, which changes everything, which means that instead, when we start off this mizmar, we said, who's the speaker? You know, when you take an exam and Tanakh, Chidon HaTanakh, ever watched the Chidon HaTanakh? Ever watched it? Even in the Haredi schools, Mi Omar El Mi. Okay, Rav Kalman. You taught me Omar El Mi. This is the elementary. Me Omar El Mi. You always so until now. Me Omar El Mi. Hashem Omar El Yisrael. Hashem Omar El Kol Ha'olam. Hashem is the speaker to the whole world. But no. That's, who says that's the pshat? Who says the word Kel is Hashem's name? Kel. It's not Kel. It's El. Who then is the speaker? Osof. Osof Omar El Hashem. Totally different answer. Okay, you give a question on an exam. Me Omar El Mi. Is it Hashem Omar El Kol Ha'olam, or is it Osof Omar El Hashem? Mizmar Le Osof. Osof is speaking. El to towards Elokim Hashem Diber. I have spoken to Hashem Elokim. Vayikro Oretz, I've called out to the earth, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo. Look at the Rashi again. Ekra, I osof, I call to who? To Elokehu Elokim, Hashem Shemor. And what do I say? I call out to Elokim, and I say to him, Hashem Shemor. He's really putting Elokim into a double form. It would appear this, the way I translated the pasuk, is the way the Mincha Shai understood Rashi.
Right.
And look at the Sifzei Zekenim, which does not agree, gets a little bit upset with that interpretation. Let's look at the Sifzei Zekenim. Kel, Ekra, Tevas Ekra, and the Sifzei Zekenim on page 444 on the right side of Rashi, Ekra, Tevas Ekra, Einloi Be'urkan. It makes no sense. That's why it's in parentheses. That's only because they understood that there's only one gear, so Kel, not El. Two dots, not three dots. Imlo shahaya girsa lifnei Rashi, Kel besegol. The alkein perash ekro kiloimar leha kadosh baruch hu shuhu Elokim Hashem. Achein b'chol hasvarim lo nimsa rak b'tzeirei v'hu kodesh. In all of the svarim, it doesn't say this. In all of the svarim, it says Kel with its seire. V'chein isa b'taisvis menachas perek hakoymetz. V'alkei nirshe tohu soiferhu. V'tzorch loy v'mokim ekra asher. He's trying to make Rashi into everyone else on the page. He's trying to convert, forcefully twist Rashi's arms and make him say like everyone else. Ash kloimar, asher diber v'kavonas Rashi kol hemshich echad. Ad yavoy v'al yecharash v'chein haperish hakadosh baruch v'chein haperish hakadosh baruch hu shuhu kel Hashem shuhu kel v'chul. He's not even really explaining what it means. Asher diber v'yikri. He's not even really explaining what it means. He's just basically was saying over here is that there are three Hashem. Hashem has three names. Kel Hashem, Kel Elokim Hashem. V'yofia mitzion yogi. He's just going on to the next psukim. Okay, so this is okay. By the way. He also, the Sifzei Zekenim adds his hat into the collection here as what is the subject of this mizmar. We learned so far four. Here's number five. V'yal gu'ulas ha'asim nisnabe ritzinolim ha'mash amar achakach yavoy. Okay, so he just throws in a couple of words. He basically disagrees with everyone else. We're not discussing the Yom Hadin. We're not giving Musar. What we're doing instead over here is we are focusing on the Geula. All right, so this is, so we have over here.
I want to give another shot.
Yeah.
I'm making center. Mizmor was Kael, Hashem, Rosh, who is Elohim Hashem, the Midas Harachim, the Midas Hadin, the Midas
Hadin, and the Midas Harachim. Okay. So you're saying a very nice shot. You're saying that Kael is the synthesis? You want to say that the word Kel is the synthesis of Din and Rachamim.
Correct.
Both. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Now this is what it says over here. Okay. I'm for it. Now let's just go. Now let's take a look over here. Oh, that was close. That was a miracle. And still. Okay. Okay. Now there is a maral here in honor of Rav Chol. And he says something very, very deep. Very deep. Let me just see if it's the Chumash Anoch, yes. I'll tell you the morale outside. The morale says, Al Shloisha Dzorim Ho'ilm Oimed. Ala Toira, Ala Voida, Vial Gemilas Chasodim. Okay, the morale in a nutshell is, the language here is very abstract, Kedarkoi, like a classic, real classic morale language. Ala Toira, Vial Voida, Vial Gemilas Chasodim. Pirkei Avos, the world exists on three things. So he wants to learn that these three shemes of Hashem, Kel, Elokim, Hashem, represent the three things upon which the world stands. Elokim is obviously Avodah. Avodah is Din. Avodah represents when a person davens to Hashem, he serves Hashem. Yitzchak is associated with Avodah. Yitzchak is Din. That's Elokim, Avodah. Yudke Vavke is Gemilas Chasodim. Because as Davdov said, the Yudke Vavke is Rachamim. And Rachamim is always associated with Gemilos Chasodim. And Kel is Torah. Kel, that's a little bit hard to understand. Why is Kel Torah? If you go look over here, let's maybe look a little bit at this language, a little bit at the language of the Maral. Give me one moment, but I lost it over here. Okay, the Maral. On the next page, you have to turn to the next page to, one second, let me find it. On the bottom page, 447. 447, and you look down, Kaylee, no, I made a mistake. See, good, we looked inside. He says that Kel is Midas HaRachamim. Kel, as we find by Esther, Mizmar Chav Beis, Kaylee, Lama Azavtani, why did you abandon me? Asking for Rachamim, mercy, Kaylee. So the word Kel, we see, is associated with Rachamim. Kaylee, Lama Azavtani, Vein Oim Lama Azavtani, Midas Adin. That is Rachamim. Gimilos Chasadim. And what about Yudke Vavke? Oh, Yudke Vavke represents everything. Okay, Yudke Vavke is the Shem Hashem. It encompasses, doesn't really explain. Read the next paragraph, the next column. On the left column, Zoch Hashem Hashem ki b'Shem Hashem Miskashi Yisod HaRuach. See, this stuff gets me all worked up. I don't understand all these terms. Ruach, Mayim, this way off my head. Al Yidei HaTorah. Shnidna b'shem hazeh, hasher noida hashem hazeh l'moshe. Okay, that's why I have a hard time with Maral. I get very turned off, unfortunately. It's way too abstract. Something like this is, I'm gone. I'm totally gone over here. Totally lost. But Yudkei Vavkei is the shame which Hashem gave the Torah. So when it says here the three different shemois, Kel Elokim Hashem, Kel is Rachamim, Gemilas Chasodim, Elokim is Avoida, and then Yudkei Vavkei is Torah. Ala Torah, ala Avoida, v'al Gemilas Chasodim. Now the Chumash Anoch says something similar. You look at the Chumash Anoch on page 445. Kel Elokim Hashem, Dibe Vayikra Aretz Perish V'Sefer Eretz Achayim. And that's a Kabbalah. Meir once looked that up for us. It's a Kabbalah Sefer. Cannot be surprised. Meir knew that it was a Kabbalah Sefer. Remember, there's an open invitation, Rabbi said, 3 o'clock, you can learn Zohar, 27th Street. And outside, under the stars. Perish, B'Sefer Eretz Achayim, return to Lama, B'Shleisha Midas, Kelis Chesed, Elokim is Din, and Hashem is Rachamim. Okay, this is not Maral, it's a little bit different. Okay, he's not saying Torah, Avoida, Gemilas Chasad. He's not bringing your Torah. He's just saying there's something called Chesed, something called Din, is Rachamim. What's the chiluk between Chesed and Rachamim? I don't know. I thought they're the same. Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu Esel Lomo, Chesed La Tzadikim. Chesed is for Tzadikim. Okay? Din L'Rishoyim, Rachamim La Beinonim. It's very deep. Most people don't differentiate between Chesed and Rachamim.
Chesed is pity, and that's Rachamim. It's pity.
It's very deep. This is very deep.
Whether they do, you're giving them this well deserving.
Chesed is to give someone a bonus. You work very hard. I'll give you a bonus. Rachamim, you don't deserve anything.
But we're giving you something.
It gives it anyway. We'll give you. Chesed, you have to have something. Yeah. Uve mishpat, uve chesed uve rachamim, uve chesed uve rachamim. It's not the same. Chesed and rachamim is not the same. He's saying good. And he's saying the three shemos here, kel, lukim, Hashem, represent kel is chesed, and lukim is din, and yudke vavke is rachamim. Very interesting. It's a very interesting case. A lot of different you say this over here. Come out. Okay. So this is basically.
But you see that.
Yeah.
Talking about creation, the three pillars on which the world stands, and the things that it says.
Yep.
The
bear,
Vayikra,
Eretz,
and so on and so forth. That's, it's all about creation.
Okay, it's true, absolutely. All right, so this is basically the Hagdama to this Mizmar. And now we really should go on, but it's already late, so maybe we'll it's a good place to stop. Okay, let me just make sure I did everything I want to tell you over here. There is one, maybe just look over here, maybe just do it now. So tomorrow we're going to go on. I just want to do one thing very quickly. I just want to do one Maimer Chazal. Okay, so let's just do one Maimer Chazal. So tomorrow we'll go on to the next page. One Maimer Chazal over here, even though this really relates to the next Mizmar, but we'll turn next. Look at Likutei Shas. Likutei Shas, the first Likutei Shas. Mizmor li Yosef Elokim Hashem Dibarikra Eretz Mimizrach Shemesh Amavol. Chachamayim, there's a big machlokes from where did the world start? The Big Bang.
Originally.
Did it start from the ends of the earth, or did it start from the center? Was the point of creation outside in or inside out? You know, in science they talk about this. Even it could be, yeah, okay. It's very, very deep. It's a very Hodu V'Yad Kush. Interesting.
The outer provinces and work his way inward.
Very interesting. So this concept from the outside coming in versus inside going out is a major disagreement in everything, including in the creation of the world. L'cha'ora, if you start from the inside and you go out, then creation is continuing. It's the world is still in a process of creation. Because you're going out.
Still expanding.
But if you learn that Hashem created from the outside going in, we're done. Because the starting point was the outside, and it came to the center focal point, it's over. There's nothing more to be done. Well, creation is...
It could be like an infinite series.
Or, could you say there's two dimensions? Elu v'elu, divri elokim chaim. Who says it only all works one way? Maybe there is some type of sophistication where there is an element, a dimension of creation that is from the center going out, and there's a dimension of creation from the outside going in. So this pasuk here, with the, really it's the next pasuk base, mitzion, from tzion michlal yoifi, it is the perfection of beauty, Elokim yoifia, Hashem appeared. Which basically means creation. It's a way of describing Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself in creation, and that creation is called the Michlal Yoifi. Hashem's revelation is the totality of beauty. And where did this place of beauty appear? Mitzion. It all started from Tzion. So the Medrash over here says, Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor li Yosef Hashem Elokim, Hashem Dibar Hashem Yikra El Eretz Mizrach Shemesh Amavol, Chachom Aymer, Mitzion Nivra Ha'olam. This is part of a long Gemara. A very complicated Gemara, and the Medrash as well is cited in different places. Here he quotes over here Masechta Yoma, and it says over here that the Chum hold that the world began from the center and expanded outwards. Mitzion Nivra Olam Shnemar Mizrali. This is the pasuk. Mizmol Yosef Kel Lukim Hashem Diber Vayikra Aretz Oimer Mitzion Michlal Yoifi Mimenu. I'm sorry. Right. The navel of the world. Mimenu muchlal, mimenu from Tzion, hish tachlol yofyoy shel oilam. It was, what's the good word? How do you translate the Shemachal? From Tzion, it was muchlal, he translates it. Muchlal, it was completed, expanded, I'm not sure what this means. It was established, the beauty of the world. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, Eile told us Hashamayim Oretz Bihi Baram, Biyoy Masos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, Tol us Shamayim Oretz. So he learns, the Tol us Shamayim, Mishamayim Nivu, Tol us Oretz. Sorry?
Perfected.
The beauty was perfected. And now here's another machlokes, which parallels this. According to this opinion, everything that was created in Shamayim, the choymer, the matter that was needed to create everything in heaven, was taken from heaven. Everything that was needed to create something on this earth was taken from this. We're just saying words, right? We're not saying just very abstract things. There's Shamayim and Aretz. When you create something, you need raw materials. Where did they get the raw materials to create the heavens? From heaven. Local. I don't know who's they. You think I know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. Trust me. I don't know what I'm talking about. But whoever they are, when they, Hashem, and his Malachi HaShareis, decided to create Shemayim, where do you get raw materials from?
That's scientific.
I don't understand.
Well, if you read the Big Bang, that book, you know, yeah, that explains some of those
things. They explain everything.
No, I mean, not really. No. Obviously, that's why it's banned in a lot of, but it explains this.
Okay, let's see. Toldos Shamayim, Mishamayim Nivru. Toldos Aretz Nivru. The raw materials to create heaven were taken from heaven. There's a lumber yard in heaven. So whatever they need in heaven, they got from heaven. Whatever they need in the earth, they got from earth. No. Elu v'elu mitzionin nivru. Shenemar miz this mizmar. Mizmar liyosaf kelukim Hashem diber v'yikra. And he called to the Oretz. He called mimizrach shemesh anuvau v'oimer mitzion nichlal yofi elokim oifiya mimenu muchlal yofioi shel oilam. Everything. They learn that even the raw materials that were needed to create the matter in heaven, where did Mars come from? How did Mars form? I don't know if I'm saying what it means. Maybe it means something spiritual. But let's learn a very, very one interpretation. Where did the planets come from?
What science says is that they, after the Big Bang Theory, the debris of the explosion,
yeah,
was somehow collected by various planets. And they created whatever shot over here stopped, and all of a sudden Mars was created, Venus was created with the debris from the explosion.
So Mars has DNA from Earth?
They developed. Earth was one of the last of the creations.
Okay, that's the Big Bang. Okay, that's the BA, right? I don't know. Right, I'm just reading these words. I don't know what in the world I'm reading here. I don't know what's going on over here. But on an extremely abstract reading of these words to the extreme, with full disclosure, I don't know what I'm talking about. Right. It says that Shemayim Machloikis, there's something called Shemayim and Oretz. I'm assuming Shemayim means the heavenly bodies, the planets, the stars, everything that's up there. Where, when it was created, did the Ruah?
I don't think so. Anything that we know about is called Oretz. Anything we don't know about.
Okay, that's also subject to interpretation. So you say that even in Shemayim, even Mars, and the sun, that's also called Oretz. Spirituality is called Shemayim. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that in this particular context, a Devar Ruchni, which is not tangible, is called Shemayim, and any Devar Gashmi, including the sun, the moon, the stars, is called Oretz. Okay, fine. I'm not arguing with that. That's one Mahalach. Some will argue, though, that when it says Shemayim in this context, Shemayim means, it means the star, anything that's out of our reach. The stars, the moon, anything that's above us, that's called Shemayim, like we ordinarily translate. And the Aretz means the earth. When this world was created, where did the stars, the moon, the sun, where did the raw matter come from to create the sun? Was it taken from outer space? Or was there a shipment, FedEx, sent? Why? I don't know.
God created.
There must be a message. There must be something very deep. This is way over my head. It's just very interesting. That's why I'm telling you. I don't know what this means. Every single element of this Chazal, you can dwell upon, and you can disagree. Every single part is subject to many interpretations. But just the basic concepts. There's a machloikis. There's Shamayim. There's something called Shemayim. There is something called Aretz. How do you want to translate those words? Obviously, it's subject to interpretation. Question. We know that Hashem created everything. When Hashem created the Shemayim, there's an assumption that there was some raw material that was used to create the Shemayim.
Why does Hashem need raw material?
Why is that?
Oh, that's also excellent. That's another interesting phenomenon that has to be dealt with. Who says there has to be raw material? You're right. This medrash seems to say that there was. That's what it seems.
Principle.
Okay, we can't make science here because it's going to be too confusing. You're right. That's also a chiddush that the Shemayim had to have been created from raw material, and it says the Aretz was created from raw material. Question. Where did the raw material come from? So there are two opinions. One opinion is that the Shemayim, it was created from its own collection of raw material, and the Aretz was created from its own chelik of raw material. The other opinion says, no, our pasuk is proof that even this entity called Shamayim, even it was created from the raw material on the Aretz. Now, what does all that mean?
I don't know.
Okay, let's take a short break.
Okay.
Okay, have a safe trip. Have a safe trip. Enjoy. How long are you going to be in Eretz Yisrael?
2 weeks.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, enjoy. Enjoy your trip. Enjoy very much. Have a safe trip, an enjoyable trip. Okay. Take care. Enjoy. We miss you.
I don't know if you can help me later, but maybe I could pay you some. With Google, I went into a few things and they said I should open some. But the thing is also with the laptop that I have, it was breached. They even get from the Social Security, you know, they use like a different number. If you have time, maybe
okay, after the share, okay.
Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to take
Okay, sure.